All right, y'all, you're Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we're talking all about Chicago Bears linebacker Roquan Smith requesting a trade and whether or not it makes sense for the Falcons to pick up that phone and make it happen.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP. Still going strong on Twitter, at FalcFans. And, of course, the host of this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And, of course, we thank everyone that makes Locked On Falcons their first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, whether you're checking us out on Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, or you can also check us out on YouTube. Hit that bell, give us a like, and you will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. So today is going to be all about Roquan Smith trade possibilities. And I'll basically say up front, guys, I could see a scenario where Roquan Smith is an Atlanta Falcon in 2023, i.e. next season. I don't really see one, at least a realistic one currently, where he is an Atlanta Falcon in 2022, this upcoming season. I'll explain exactly why that is. But for those of you that missed the breaking news on Tuesday morning, Roquan Smith, the Bears 2018 first round pick, who's now entering the fifth and final year of his rookie contract, potentially a free agent next offseason, released a formal statement today requesting for a trade from Chicago. Basically, in that statement, said he wants to be a Bear for life, but essentially the contract offers from the Bears, they've been negotiating back and forth for several months, you know, he, from his perspective, have been disrespectful. His exact words were, "They've refused to negotiate in good faith. Every step of this journey has been take it or leave it. The deal sent to me is one that would be bad for myself and for the entire linebacker market if I signed it. I've been trying to get something done that's fair since April, but their focus has been on trying to take advantage of me." So, you know, you don't necessarily have to read between the lines, but essentially Roquan Smith wants a new contract from Chicago that will essentially reset the linebacker market. Smith, by the way, is negotiating on his own behalf since he fired his agents a couple of years ago. So I think that's part of this situation and why it seems so personal to him. But, you know, the highest paid off-ball linebackers in the NFL currently are Shaquille Leonard, a.k.a. Darius Leonard, who makes $19.7 million a year on a $98.5 million contract. The number two on that list is right behind him is Fred Warner with the 49ers, who makes about $19 million a year and a $95 million contract. And so it's easy to speculate that Roquan Smith wants to be the NFL's first $100 million linebacker. So essentially, if you're a team like the Falcons that are going to trade for him, you're essentially going to acquiesce to his contract demands. Otherwise, what's the point of trading for him? And so, you know, we can sit here and discuss whether you believe that Roquan Smith is worth that type of money. Personally, I don't. But the market is what the market is. And as they say, it ain't tricking if you got it. And I know that frame doesn't necessarily apply to that, but it kind of does, right? So what would be sort of the asking price for trading for Roquan Smith? And I did some Googling to kind of see, okay, like, have there been any sort of high profile, you know, linebacker trades in recent years that we could sort of set as a precedent? And I didn't really find any. Like, the best example was like when the Bills traded Kiko Alonso, you know, back for the first time he got traded in 2015, and they traded him basically straight up for Shady McCoy. Then the following year, the Eagles wound up trading him to Miami as basically as a sweetener in their trade to sort of accumulate the draft capital, go up and get Carson Wentz at the top of that draft. Maybe there's a couple of, you know, mid to late round picks that have been exchanged for some veteran linebackers that I overlooked, but I didn't see anything that really suggests that, you know, high profile linebackers are changing teams, at least in recent years, the last 5-6 years, at that position. And that kind of is a testament to how teams may not necessarily value the linebacker position, which may explain why the Bears are, quote unquote, trying to take advantage of Roquan in this situation. So based off of that, like, you know, the scarcity of such trades strongly suggests that, like, I don't think the Bears could realistically expect the team to give up a first round pick or get a first round pick back for Roquan Smith. Teams typically only are willing to give that type of value up for premium positions. Linebacker is certainly not a position like that. You know, we've seen some non-premium players like a Jamal Adams get traded for that, but that didn't really work out in the favor. So I think teams will be reluctant for that. So this is where we'll speculate, and this is pure speculation on my part. You know, so I would assume if you're not going to get a first round pick, you're going to get a second and something else that will be kind of the equivalent of first round pick. And so I'm thinking it'll be like a second and a third. If I'm the Bears, I'm like, we got to start with a second and a third, right? And the reason I came to that is you look to last year's trade between the Broncos and Rams, and they gave a second and third for Von Miller, right? The Rams gave that up. And then on top of that, the Bills wound up paying Von Miller $20 million a year on a 6-year contract this past offseason. So at least based off of that, my perception of that is, you know, a $100 million player should be worth a first round pick if he played a premium position. But if he's not playing a premium position, that's worth a second and a third. And then when you look at the various trade value charts, right, if you had the 10th pick in the second round, the 10th pick in the third round, that would be the equivalent of a late first round pick. So second and a third, or early second and a third would be worth a first round pick in that regard. So that's where my speculation comes. Now, we can explore this further, but I would be highly skeptical that the Falcons would be willing to give up that type of value for Roquan Smith, or really any player at this point in time this summer. And, you know, of course, you have to factor in that the Bears have already publicly stated, on the heels of Roquan's public declaration of winning a trade, that they have no intention of trading him. And I suspect that they won't trade him unless they can get that type of premium on him. So of course we know that things can change. You know, the Seahawks 6 months ago at the combine were like, we're not trading Russell Wilson. And then like a week later they traded Russell Wilson. So just because the Bears say they don't want to trade Roquan doesn't mean that they won't trade him. But given that the Bears have been actively trying to re-sign him, even if it hasn't, you know, they've been lowballing him, at least in Roquan's perspective, you know, seems to suggest that they're not going to basically give him away. So, you know, when we asked about the Falcons, should they trade for Roquan Smith, you know, without getting a major discount in terms of giving up that draft capital, I would say no. Again, I could be completely off on what the trade market would be based off my speculation. It wouldn't be sort of the first time I've been off on speculating on what a player is worth. Mohamed Sanu exists out there in that trade and whatnot. And then when you ask the question, will the Falcons trade for him? Again, you can never put anything past Ryan Pace locking Terry Fontenot in the bathroom and sort of usurping him as the general manager. But I would sit here and say it's doubtful. So it feels much more likely in my eyes that Roquan will play out his final year with the Bears, and then it'll be a question on whether or not the Bears choose to franchise tag him next offseason. And if they don't, then I could see the Falcons, you know, being much more willing to pay that big contract without having to give up premium draft assets to acquire a player like Roquan Smith. But, you know, I think the reason why you would be hesitant to do that this summer, but be more open to doing that next March, is because you kind of want to see what Michael Walker, you kind of want to see what Troy Anderson are going to potentially bring to the table before you make this massive investment in another linebacker from the outside. And so that's kind of how I see it. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but we'll also talk a little bit about Deion Jones and where he figures into that. I know a lot of people will speculate, hey, can we package Deion Jones as part of this package so that we don't have to give up those premium draft assets for Roquan Smith? And I certainly think that's a possibility, but I don't think Deion Jones is nearly as valuable as you guys probably want to believe he is. And I'll break that down as we continue today's episode, guys. But before we get there, you know, we're talking about trades and whatnot. But, you know, this week we got a preseason action between the Falcons and the Lions. The Falcons, that line has moved already, where previously the Falcons were favored by 2.5 points. As of this recording, the Falcons are only favored by 1 point. So maybe you want to wait a little bit and see if that line continues to move. Maybe you want to take advantage of that action. All you got to do is head on over to the number one source for all your sports betting needs. And of course, we're talking about betonline.net. Whether you're looking for the latest odds, contests, or player props, BetOnline has it all. Whether you want to bet on preseason games, you want to bet on NFL futures, like who's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, all that and more. You can bet on futures for the NHL, the NBA, the upcoming World Cup, or you can bet on, you know, current events like Major League Baseball, right? You can bet on boxing, UFC, esports, even play your favorite Vegas casino games. All you got to do is head on over to the website today at betonline.net. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So basically, when it comes to Deion Jones, I don't think he's really moving the needle in terms of a potential, a speculative Roquan Smith trade. And the reason why I think that is because, you know, the Falcons have essentially been trying to trade Deion Jones since March of 2021. So, you know, we're almost at 18 months since the Falcons have been shopping Deion Jones quietly or explicitly. And they've gotten no takers in that time. And you know, I would believe that if the Falcons, you know, sitting here today, if the Falcons could get a late round pick for Deion Jones, like a 6th round pick, they would take that. They would unload Deion Jones just to unload that contract at this point in time. And so I have a hard time believing that throwing Deion Jones into a Roquan Smith trade is going to suddenly like replace one of these premium picks, right? If it's 2nd and 3rd, like, you know, I don't think a 2nd in Deion Jones or a 3rd in Deion Jones is going to move the needle enough for the Bears to accept that. Now, I know some of you will sit here and say, well, the Falcons don't really want to trade Deion Jones, Aaron, or you're sitting here saying, well, the reason why they haven't traded Deion Jones over the last 18 months is because they're waiting for a good deal. And I can say with a great degree of confidence that both of those statements are wrong. You know, I have it on extremely good authority that they do want to trade Deion Jones. And the reason why they haven't yet, again, on similar authority, is because the market doesn't exist, right? You type in the Deion Jones trade market in Google Maps, metaphorically speaking, and it's going to say image not found, right? And so like that's why I continue to believe and continue to speculate. That, you know, when push comes to shove later this month, when final cuts are going to have to be made August 30th. So over the next 3 weeks, if a trade market doesn't, you know, develop in the next 3 weeks, I think the Falcons will decide to cut Deion Jones. I could certainly be wrong about that. Wouldn't be the first time I've been wrong about a thing. The 3rd time maybe that I've been wrong about a thing. And yes, I've made that joke before and I will continue to remake that joke time and time again. Anybody that's a regular listener of Locked On Falcons knows that I will run a joke into the ground, especially if it's really corny. But that's been part of the reason why, guys, like I've been speculating for months that I don't think a Deion Jones trade is going to happen. But at the same time, I also don't think Deion Jones is going to be on the roster, right? And part of that is you're looking at some of these teams that we have speculated in the past would probably be inclined to trade for Deion Jones. A team like the Jets, where Jeff Ulbrich is there, they just recently picked up Quan Alexander, right? A team like Dallas, where Dan Quinn is, they just recently picked up Anthony Barr. Even Washington was a team that we talked about has been looking for some linebacker help. They just recently signed Nate Gary this summer. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think really the situation with the Falcons and Deion Jones is that they're waiting for an injury elsewhere to happen. And then all of a sudden a market for Deion Jones may develop then. But if a market doesn't develop, there's basically 3 choices the Falcons have. They can either keep Deion Jones, paying him $20 million in terms of his cap hit, and let him ride the bench and have a $20 million player. And essentially it's a Sam Darnold situation where I think Sam Darnold's the only backup player that's going to make $20 million this year. Or they could keep him, pay him $20 million, and because of that, start him. But obviously that's going to affect Michael Walker's development, and I don't think the Falcons want to do that. And the 3rd option, which I think is the likely, you know, logically conclude, if they're not going to do the first two, they're going to go to the 3rd option, which is wind up cutting him. So that's why I can sit here and speculate again, but with a relative degree of confidence that that will be sort of the end result. So they'll either trade him, or they'll, you know, if a market does develop in the next couple of weeks, or they'll cut him, in my humble opinion. I don't see those first two outcomes of keeping him and paying him $20 million as realistic options for this football team. So we'll see what happens between now and August 30th. And I guess technically it won't be August 30th as its hard deadline, because there's a date that first week of the regular season where if you're on the team's roster, I want to say it's the Friday or Saturday before Sunday, or maybe it's earlier in the week. I'm not 100% sure on that. But if you're on the team on that date, your contract, your base salary becomes guaranteed for the remainder of the year. And so that's really the hard deadline for the Falcons, where if they want to not avoid having to guarantee Deion Jones's contract in its entirety, they will have to make a trade then and there. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, I really do think the Falcons want to see what Michael Walker especially can do. You know, we've talked about Nick Kwiatkowski being a potential starter here, but it seems like Michael Walker has, you know, gotten all those first team reps and seems like he's handling it really well. And we've had multiple people come on the podcast and talk up Michael Walker. And, you know, I think that's the plan right now. And with him and Troy Anderson, you have some two low cost potential starters already on your roster that are also young, similar to Roquan Smith. Roquan's only 25, so obviously he has a long future ahead of him, but so do Walker and Anderson. Now Anderson's probably going to redshirt this year, play primarily on special teams this year, but you have two potential really cheap starters. Walker has 2 years left on his contract if you include this year and next year, and he's only going to count about $2.3 million towards your salary cap combined in those 2 years. Troy Anderson obviously has 4 years left on his rookie contract, but over the next 2 years, only going to count about $2.5 million towards your cap space. So you could have cost-controlled, young, talented linebackers that are starters for you for the next couple of years that are only going to count about $5 million in cap space, or you could trade for Roquan Smith and wind up paying about $20 million in cap space for the next 2 years. And that figure comes from, if you just assume he gets handed the exact same contract that the Colts gave Shaq Leonard, where his first 2 years cap hits is combined about $19.4 million. So I don't see the Falcons jumping at that opportunity, at least at this current point. Now, maybe again, next year, next offseason, after you've sort of seen what Michael Walker can do, what Troy Anderson can do on the football field, you'd be much more open to saying like, look, you know, those guys didn't live up to their potential. And we do need that sort of big time, high priced linebacker, you know, next offseason. That to me seems like a much more realistic scenario. So we'll see if that happens, but let's you know, say this on when we're talking about money, it's not because the Falcons can't afford to trade for Roquan Smith. You know, finances aren't really an obstacle for them. It's just, to me, opportunity is really an obstacle for them, right? They have enough cap space to absorb Roquan Smith's $9.7 million base salary in a trade right now. I think they're about $12 or $13 million under the salary cap. And then when you presumably sign Roquan Smith to this massive $100 million contract with some creative restructuring, you could lower that cap hit and wind up creating, you know, the necessary space that you need to go into the season. So money is not an obstacle for the Falcons in terms of trading for Roquan Smith, just from a salary cap standpoint. It's just more, do you want to pay that sort of premium for a player when you don't necessarily have to, if you believe in Michael Walker, if you believe in Troy Anderson? And while I am not necessarily the person known for driving the Michael Walker or Troy Anderson bandwagon within the fan base, I certainly think it makes sense, given where the team is in their rebuild, to sort of at least kick their tires for this season before you make some big splash at the linebacker position. You want to make, if you're going to spend $100 million on a player, you want to make an informed decision on that. And we'll talk about, you know, why that is and why certain other players like an AJ Terrell, if someone's going to get $100 million from this Falcons team on the defense in the next, you know, year, it should be AJ Terrell rather than a Roquan Smith. And we'll get more into that as we continue today's episode, guys. But before we get there, I do want to plug the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast feed, where, of course, you can get three daily shows devoted to not only local teams, but national sports headlines that, of course, A to Z with Mark Zeno, Hitting Hard with John Tucker, and ATL Day Ones with Jarvis Davis and Tanitra Batiste. Locked On Sports Atlanta is also the home of the Locked On Braves postcast, breaking down every Atlanta Braves win and loss. And it is also the home of the Locked On Falcons postcast, which we will have our first episode Friday after the Falcons preseason opener against the Detroit Lions. You will hear myself and Jarvis Davis, or you will see myself and Jarvis Davis on the Locked On Sports Atlanta YouTube page. And if you subscribe, of course, to Locked On Falcons on your audio platform, you will also get access to that. But of course, if you want to check us out live Friday night, go subscribe to Locked On Sports Atlanta on YouTube. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Sports Atlanta on your preferred audio platform to get A to Z and Mark and Jarvis and Tanitra and all those guys breaking down all the stuff. Let's wrap up today's episode, talking a little bit more deeper about, you know, the Falcons situation in terms of why it doesn't make enough sense, at least in my eyes, to justify a Roquan Smith trade. It's not because Roquan Smith isn't a good player. I don't think anybody would argue or anybody would deny that Roquan Smith is a substantial upgrade over what your current options are at the inside linebacker position. Even I'm sure Michael Walker's biggest fans and Troy Anderson's biggest fans would probably agree that we know Roquan Smith is very good. We don't necessarily know that about Michael Walker, even if we believe that he will be very good. But I do wonder, like, is having that type of linebacker a sort of a critical component of, you know, our attempts to rebuild and build up this Dean Pees defense, right? Now, we know Dean Pees, given his background as a linebackers coach, given his time in New England, given his time in Baltimore, as well as Tennessee, is no stranger to investing resources into the linebacker position. Having top-tier linebackers, you go back to his days in New England, where he was coaching guys like Teddy Bruschi and Ted Johnson. They brought in guys like Junior Seau. They used the number one pick in that time on Gerard Mayo. You know, we go to his time in Baltimore. Of course, those were the twilight years of Ray Lewis, but, you know, they replaced Ray Lewis using a number one pick on CJ Mosley. We know Rashawn Evans, currently with the Falcons, was a number one draft pick for the Titans while Dean Pees was there. So clearly they do value the linebacker position. But I don't know if anybody would look at the Dean Pees defense and say, like, the thing that kind of holds this thing together in order to justify $100 million sort of investment is having a top tier elite middle linebacker. That doesn't make a ton of sense. Now, I think you can make that argument for safety, given, you know, Ed Reed and Eric Weddle. I think you can make that argument for having an elite corner in the defense, whether we're talking about Ty Law or Asante Samuel or now AJ Terrell. You can make that argument for a pass rusher, of course. You know, everybody can make that argument for having an elite pass rusher on their defensive front. But, you know, basically the argument I would make is, you know, if you could just basically roll with Michael Walker, roll with Troy Anderson, couldn't you theoretically at least, you know, again, depending on how high you are on those two players, but theoretically, you could at least get like 60% of what Roquan Smith is bringing to the table, assuming that you actually believe that Walker and Anderson will be solid starters for you. Again, if you think they're going to be busts or something like that, or they're backups, then obviously this doesn't make as much sense. But if you assume that those guys are going to be solid starters for you, theoretically, they're going to bring you at least 60% of what Roquan Smith brings on the football field. And you only have to pay, at least in the next 2 years, like 25% the price, let alone what you're going to have to pay over the next 4 or 5 years, where, you know, Roquan's contract is going to continue to go up. And, you know, well, we'll see what Walker gets on his second contract. But, you know, at least with Troy Anderson, you know, he's only going to cost you like $1 or $2 million in year three and year four of his contract. So given that the Falcons don't necessarily want to, are clearly averse to getting into, you know, cap hell, cap purgatory, whatever you want to call it, again, coming off of the heels of the Terry, of the Thomas Dimitroff era, you know, again, how could I ever possibly confuse Terry Fontenot and Thomas Dimitroff? You know, it doesn't, to me, make a ton of sense for the Falcons to go and throw a whole bunch of money at someone like a Roquan Smith, even if he certainly would be an upgrade over the current option. So we'll see how 2022 plays out. Now, certainly in a world where 2022 plays out and Walker doesn't live up to those expectations, Troy Anderson, you know, looks a little lost or whatever, if and when he gets opportunities, I think the Falcons would certainly be much more open to going out there and getting a Roquan Smith next offseason or exploring some potential other options should those guys hit free agency. You got Lavonte David, you got Tremaine Edmonds, you know, potentially on the market next year as well. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, it just doesn't seem likely to me that the Falcons are going to use $100 million on some outside player like a Roquan Smith and instead would use it instead on an internal player, a homegrown player like AJ Terrell, right? Next offseason is going to potentially be the first time where the Falcons could negotiate a new contract with AJ Terrell, given that first round picks, you have to play at least 3 years in the NFL before a team can sign you to a new deal. Obviously, Chris Lindstrom's a little bit ahead of him on in terms of that lineup, given that he was a 2019 first round pick and Terrell was a 2020 pick. You know, you're not going to have to pay $100 million, at least I hope not, for Chris Lindstrom unless you sign into a 6 year, 15, 16 type million dollar deal, which is probably going to be his market. But when AJ Terrell's deal comes up, assuming there isn't a dramatic drop off and we are continuing to talk about him over the next year or two as one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL, that's going to be a $100 million player. That's what the going rate, that's what the top of the market is at the cornerback position. And again, I think that makes total sense given the premium put at that position, given the high level of receivers that you're going to have to stop in this league and the need to sort of have to slow down deep offenses in this passing league. Obviously, we can also throw pass rusher into that, whether it's an interior guy, whether it's an exterior guy. That makes total sense. If the Falcons want to invest $100 million in a player in the future, you know, that could be that type of player. So I would sit here and say, like, you know, while I'm not anti paying linebackers or any linebackers $100 million, I'm like, if we're going to pay $100 million for anybody, like, I'd wait and see what, you know, the pass rusher situation looks like. Or let's just pay that to AJ Terrell next year and go cheaper. Again, I'm not saying go cheap, but go cheaper at the linebacker position. So, you know, given that the Falcons are rebuilding, I don't think they need to be in a point where they're just throwing money at a player like Roquan Smith. Now I know there are plenty of people that don't really believe the Falcons are rebuilding. There's plenty of people that, think the Falcons are already a playoff contending team, or at least on the verge of playoff contending. And certainly I know that's why it's alluring to think like a player like Roquan Smith could be the thing that helps push this team over the top. You know, I don't necessarily buy into that, but like we won't spend too much time peeing in that punch bowl as it goes. But, you know, we'll see if the Falcons are willing to go on a sort of a massive spending spree next offseason. I think it's going to depend heavily on how this year goes. You know, certainly could see scenarios where this year goes a certain way and the Falcons are more conservative with using that cap space next offseason. Or I could see scenarios and outcomes this year where the Falcons feel a lot more aggressive in that. But again, I think you kind of have to wait to see how this season goes, whether you believe this team is rebuilding or whether you think this team is not rebuilding. $100 million is in that situation with Roquan Smith, you're basically betting that you're not rebuilding. And that's a pretty massive bet to make, that you're not rebuilding, which, you know, I you guys know where I stand on that. And I'm sure many of you agree with me that like $100 million, the bet that we're, you know, right on the cusp of being a perennial playoff team, good luck with that. So we'll see how it works out, guys. I would just say I'm not going to hold my breath on a Roquan Smith trade or even a Deion Jones trade coming to fruition, at least this summer. I would recommend that you don't hold your breath. So breathe normally. But we know that things tend to change in the NFL. So we'll see what happens over the next 3 to 4 weeks and see if things change. And if they do, we'll revisit these topics again. But without a sort of major shakeup to the status quo, whether that's involving Roquan Smith or Deion Jones or Michael Walker or Troy Anderson, doesn't seem likely to me, but obviously we can speculate about it. And of course it's fun to talk about these things, even if I don't see it coming to fruition. Of course we'll have a lot of jokes about, and we'll be snarky about Ryan Pace, you know, and how he's going to, you know, slash Terry Fontenot's tires, so that he won't be able to come into work and see if he can make a trade there. So that's it, guys. Today was supposed to be a Q&A. Only one of you sent in a question, and it was about Roquan Smith. So I hope that person is happy. I'll just read AJ Evans's question. He's the only person that cares about the Q&As on this podcast, which is disappointing to me. But he basically asked, Roquan has requested a trade, and the Falcons could always use front seven help. What would a package look like and what are you willing to give? In my opinion, first round picks are untouchable, but this is once again 3D chess by the Ryan Pace regime to bring him home, and the trade will end up being Jalen Mayfield in the second round pick. Just kidding. LOL. So AJ, really appreciate the insight. And yes, we will keep the Ryan Pace, Terry Fontenot jokes coming. You know, I don't know if Jalen Mayfield's going to sweeten that pot, but you know, Jalen Mayfield probably could start on the Bears right currently, because they're probably the only team that has a worse offensive line situation than the Falcons have. But we'll see if the offensive line can sort of move the needle and make us feel a little bit better about that situation on Friday night. That's going to be certainly a key focus. We'll be talking about that potentially on tomorrow episode, and certainly later in the week where we'll be joined by Jarvis Davis to sort of preview that game, and of course on Friday evening to sort of give you the recap of that game in our preseason postcast on the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast feed. But if you forgot to hit send on that Q&A question, we can have an opportunity to get to it on tomorrow's episode. Of course, you know where to hit me up. AJ hit me up on email at lockedonfalcons@mail.com. You can too. You can leave a comment here on the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel, or of course you can hit me up on social media at Locked On Falcons, either on Facebook or on Twitter. So guys, really appreciate you for tuning in. Enjoy talking and speculating about Roquan Smith. You know, it's fun. You know, it certainly beats, you know, talking about how Felipe Franks is coming for Marcus Mariota's starting job. Although I do, maybe we'll entertain the possibility that Desmond Ridder is closing the gap on Marcus Mariota on tomorrow's podcast, but that we'll save that till tomorrow. Maybe we'll explain that a little bit deeper on tomorrow's episode. But guys, really appreciate you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen. Always recommend your second listen being Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Braves, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs, and of course Locked On Fantasy Football, where expert Vinny Iyer with 20 years of expertise is helping you get ready for this upcoming fantasy football season and help you get geared up for your upcoming fantasy drafts. So check out Locked On Fantasy Football as your second listen, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day on all the same podcast platforms that you are currently watching and or listening to Locked On Falcons. So guys, really appreciate it. Till then.